Let's pray. Lord, may our hearts be open to your word, and your word open our hearts to respond. Amen. I wonder if you enjoy history. I know that I do, but I also struggle often with the violence and the power struggles that there is, and there often seems to be very limited times of peace. The two books of Kings are a fascinating portrayal of the history of leadership through the good and the bad kings of Judah and Israel, right from King Saul through to King Zedekiah. Some say the books are a holy history of the spiritual and moral, the beliefs and the behaviours of the many successive kings. Others say they're a record of God's people told from God's perspective, perhaps written by the prophet Jeremiah, or at least part of it could have been, whilst another suggests they tell a story which is vital to humankind. The most fascinating thing about these books of Kings, though, is that two-thirds of them are actually spent not on kings, but telling the stories of two prophets, Elijah and his successor, Elisha. Elijah challenged the people of God because they turned to the false gods of Baal, who were worshipped by the then king Ahab's wife, and whom she had introduced into their country during Ahab's reign. Elijah's primary concern was, however, for his people and his belief that they needed restoration and reconciliation with the God of Israel. Elijah himself was a true man of God. His relationship with God was good. He trusted God. He listened to God. And whenever he prayed, because of his ongoing relationship with God, his prayers were effective and meaningful. His prayer life was completely connected to his spiritual life in God. His prayers were powerful and they made things happen. His prayers flowed from a mutual relationship with God where he listened or asked and God responded. Elijah was so in tune with God that his heart and his concern was God's burden and passion to bring his beloved people back to himself. Elijah's heartfelt desire was to see God glorified by his people and God's purposes fulfilled. Dedicated to this task, and despite threats to his life, he never gave up praying, even when it seemed that it was impossible. In hugely difficult times, Elijah was utterly dedicated to God. He was obedient, he was patient, and he was tenaciously persistent in his pursuit of God's people on God's behalf. God responded because of Elijah's absolute dedication and his perseverance. As we reach today's reading, Elijah had previously told King Ahab that as the Lord God of Israel lives, there will be no rain in the next few years unless I say. And that can be found in the first book of Kings, chapter 17. This caused 3 years of drought. And later, Elijah challenged the priests of Baal to go up against God's power and might. Elijah called down the fire from heaven, which consumed all the sacrifices to Baal. And as the people witnessed the God of Israel's power over Baal, they fell on their faces to worship God, declaring, "The Lord, he is God." And at that, the people were on his side. And Elijah had over 450 prophets of Baal killed that day. That is found in 1 Kings chapter 18. Ahab, Ahab's queen, having already had hundreds of the God of Israel's prophets killed, was absolutely fuming. And Elijah, overwhelmed by his fear of her threats for him and his life, fled into the wilderness. In fact, he was so frightened for his life that he even dared to ask God to kill him instead of having to face the evil queen's wrath. But God's love was faithfulness to Elijah. He ensured the provision for all his needs in the form of food and rest and even a visiting angel in such a place. Here in the wilderness, God invited Elijah to renewal and restoration. And so the story goes on. God and Elijah just had a conversation, something very normal and natural to Elijah. God says, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And because Elijah had such a good and ongoing relationship with God, he was able to recognize where God really was, in the gentle whisper. And we're told, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave to meet God. Elijah is a great example of a person of godly faith. Every day he steeped his life in the pursuance of God, despite personal danger and his life being constantly threatened. If we, like Elijah, are persistent for an ongoing relationship with God, if we read the Bible and we pray regularly, if we believe in God's guidance in our lives through His Holy Spirit, then we must also trust that God provides for us. He provides us with everything we will ever need to live as His holy people, striving to see His kingdom purposes. Just like Elijah. If our hearts are constantly tuned into God, then our ways will become God's ways, and our love for one another will be as God's passion expressed for humankind. The story of Kings ultimately seeks to show God's sovereignty over humanity and His intervention in both the good and the bad times. Elijah's role as God's prophet was to discern God's leading and guiding and to challenge those who had turned their back on him and had turned instead to false gods. I believe that this story shows us too that we can recognize God when we are faithfully committed to following him. Elijah's ongoing relationship with God enabled him to recognize God and to live out his faith with absolute passion. When we search for God, he reveals himself. How then might we nurture our own relationship with God? Regular reading or hearing of God's word enables a greater understanding of God's character and nature. As Christians, when we read and learn more about God, we can't help but want to spend time and respond to his call on our lives in deeper, reverent commitment. This story today ends with God giving Elijah instructions as to what his next steps will be, and even telling him that he will rescue all those who did not bend their knee or kiss false gods. Those who refuse to follow false gods and worship the God of Israel instead. God also promises a successor for Elijah in Elisha, and God's work will continue through his faithful servants, God's purposes fulfilled. I came across a lovely poem by chance, you might wonder. But it is so fitting for what we heard today. It's called In the Womb of Silence. Sadly, I don't know who it's written by. Not in the whirlwind, not in the lightning, not in the strife of tongues, or in the jangling of a subtle reasoning, is he to be found. But in the still, small voice, speaking in the womb of silence. Therefore, be silent. Let the past be silent. Let there be no vain regrets, no brooding on past failures, no bitterness, no judgment of oneself or of others. Let all be silent. Be still and know. Be still and look. Let the eyes of the mind be closed, that you may hear what otherwise you would not hear, that you may know what otherwise you would not know. Abandon yourself to him in longing love, simply holding on to nothing but him, so you may enter the silence of eternity and know the union of yourself with him. And if in silence he does not answer, he is still there. His silence is the silence of love. Wait then in patience and in submission. It is good to wait in silence for his coming. So let us endeavour to follow him as faithfully as Elijah did, trusting that his kingdom purposes will be worked out. And I'd like us to finish by saying the diocesan prayer. We pray together. Father, pour out your Spirit upon us. Grant us a new vision of your glory, a new experience of your power, a new faithfulness to your word, and a new consecration to your service, that your love may grow among us and that your kingdom come. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.